Meet Kelsey. When she found out she was pregnant, she wasn't sure where to turn. After meeting with the counselors at Preborn Network Clinic, who loved and supported her, and after hearing the baby's heartbeat on a free ultrasound, she chose life.
When a mother looks at her child through a sonogram, it does something to you. You know, I ended up deciding to keep my son, who is now 5 years old today. He's amazing. He brings absolute joy to my heart. I could not imagine life without him. Not only did they help me save his life, they saved my life.
By introducing a woman to her baby on ultrasound, a baby's chances at life doubles. If you have the means, would you consider a leadership gift to save babies in a big way? Your tax-deductible donation of $5,000 will sponsor Preborn's entire network for 24 hours, helping to rescue 200 babies. To donate, dial 250 and say the keyword baby. That's pound 250 baby. Or donate securely at preborn.com. That's preborn.com/Bert Harper.
The Bible. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Stay with American Family Radio for the next hour as we study God's Word and take your Bible questions. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
American Family Radio, we not only want to share information, equip the saints, and activate them to become more involved in the gospel and missions and even in our society and voting and being the citizen that we should be. We're also on mission for God. And last week, if you remember, we had a guest on, Ann Cockrell, talking about Bibles for babies. And we asked folks to participate. Alex, we got good news today, brother. You ready to listen?
Yeah, let's hear it.
We had 748 Bibles that were given to those babies at Crisis Pregnancy Center. So we praise the Lord for that. Our listeners came through, and we're celebrating that. And we say thank you very much to those that participated and was a part of this, Bibles for Babies. And it's those Crisis Pregnancy Centers where the mother says, yes, I'm going to keep my child. And they give them a Bible. I can't think of anything else that's more eternal than that to give them, Alex.
Well, indeed. And a special thanks to the Exploring the Word listeners and all the AFR family that always helps this audience. Like we've talked about, it's like the nation's largest Bible study or Sunday school. And not only listening to the programming and joining in the questions in the Bible study, whenever there's a campaign, the AFR family is so faithful, and we thank God for each and every one of them.
We really do. And today, we're going to dig in to the book of Ezra, chapter 7, verse 1. And Alex, there's a thing that we need to let people know about between chapter 6 and chapter 7. Notice, if you would, chapter 7, verse 1. Now, after these things. Now, listen, that might mean a few days or months, but in this case, it's close to 60 years. In other words, between the end of chapter 6 and the beginning of verse 7, you have a whole new segment of people coming in. Zerubbabel and others brought the first group in. But now comes the name of the man who bears the name of this book, Ezra, and he's bringing a group back. So that puts a little bit of time frame on this particular book, doesn't it?
Well, it does. And this is, amazing history, absolutely accurate. But it says, now after these things in the reign of Artaxerxes, king of Persia, Ezra, the son of Seraiah, the son of Azariah, the son of Hilkiah. And it's almost like, some of the begats, but another set of genealogy, and it gives this context, really. Ezra went up from Babylon. It says he was a ready scribe, and that means skilled in the law of Moses, verse 6, which the Lord God of Israel had given. And let's remember, the law of Moses, that's the first five books of the Bible, the Pentateuch, where did it come from? Well, in secular schools, they'll say that a mythical redactor invented it, or it was just cobbled together. No, the Lord God of Israel gave the first five books of the Bible and all of the scripture. It is not man's words, but it's God's words. And the king granted him all his requests according to the hand of the Lord God upon him. Bert, there's a lot we could say in verse 6 about the sovereign influence of God on leaders, even worldly leaders, the hand of the Lord God upon him and upon God's people. And we need to pray for that sovereign ruling in the life of people by God in our own times as well. But it talks about the children of Israel coming up in the fifth month, which was in the seventh year of the king. By the way, the specific context and all of the historical parameters that show this is, you know, an actual record of history, that's what convinced C.S. Lewis of the truth of the Bible, the historicity of it. And I think it's very persuasive even to this day.
I agree with you. Ezra, Nehemiah, who we're going to continue on studying in Nehemiah, they were not afraid to give dates, the names of leaders, and list because they were accurate. They kept those records. Now I want to go back to verses 1 through 5 just for a second. I don't want to rehash it, but notice there are 17 generations here. Notice in verse 5 who it goes all the way back. This is Ezra's genealogy. And so you begat that, all of those in verse 1, but look at verse 5, the son of Aaron, the chief priest. Now, again, this shows you the details, but it also, I think it gives, I'll just say this, a lot of authority to Ezra. He could trace his roots 17 generations back all the way to Aaron, Moses' brother, the high priest. And so no wonder Ezra could say he was a skilled scribe, as you said, and God granted him, the hand of the Lord of his God was upon him. Alex, we need, as you said, we need to those kind of leaders, and he is that kind of leader. So he comes up with the children of Israel, and it gives some of those people in groups the date of seventh year of King Artaxerxes. And notice what it says in verse 8, and Ezra came to Jerusalem. He came to a difficult place. He came for a purpose. The fifth month, which was in the seventh year of the king, on the first day of the month. Again, you've already said it about C.S. Lewis. I'm no C.S. Lewis. Doesn't even begin to even latch his, tie his shoelaces. I'll put it that way. Just a great mind. But I want to tell you, I'm in the same boat he is when that helps me. The verification of the dates, the verification of the genealogies, the verification of all this, I'll put it this way, it puts spiritual iron in my spiritual blood to know that we can depend upon the Word of God. So here on Exploring the Word, we're hoping we're conveying that to those who of you are listening that may say, how do you know the Bible's true? Well, I want to tell you, it's been proven again and again and again, and the Word of God is true, and this is one of the areas, and if it would persuade C.S. Lewis, Alex, I would say that's a pretty good authentication of how strong it is.
Exactly. Ezra has a call on his life. You know, I mentioned there in verse 1 that Ezra was the son of Seraiah, now, or Seraiah, however you pronounce that. And it wasn't his immediate biological father, but one of his grandfathers. You know, we read in 2 Kings that S-E-R-A-I-A-H, Seraiah, perhaps that's how you pronounce it, was a high priest. Now, so Ezra comes from a ministry family, let me say. But verse 10, and Bert, I've preached at quite a few ordination ceremonies, and I'm sure you have too. You've probably participated in ordination councils. Verse 10 of Ezra 7 would be a good verse for any person going into the ministry. It says, "For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it, and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments." And the wording there implies not only just teach in that area geographically, but to teach the people of Israel. Here's how you serve the Lord. Prepare your heart. Seek and know, internalize, believe, be acquainted with the law of the Lord. And to do it, that means you're living out what you preach, and then you're imparting it to others. When I read like verse 10, and then later on, there's a lot more like in 27, 28, but the heart of Ezra is a heart that I would love to emulate, and I certainly respect what I read about him in the Word of God.
I agree with you, Alex. Again, this verse 10 is followed through by several people. You know, their heart was right. They were taught, and then they practiced, they shared it, and taught others from generation. I think this is appropriate that it follows verses 1 through 5, the generation, one after the other. I pass it on, or we pass it on the spiritual baton to our children and our children's children. And that's what we have here that Ezra is doing. Now, what happens in verse 11? We find another one of the letters. As I said earlier, there's 280 verses in all of Ezra, and out of those, 153 are either letters or list of people, or of, I would say, equipment. And here it says, now this is the copy of the letter that King Artaxerxes gave Ezra, the scribe, expert in the words of the commandments of the Lord, of his statutes in Israel. Now, Alex, I could not help but notice he is an expert. This is him. It says that he was skilled in verse 6. We're talking about a man that had prepared himself for such a time as this.
Amen. Well, let me say, you've heard it said, folks, a call to preach is a call to prepare. And I know a lot of times on Exploring the Word, we've had people call in, and people that also, you know, flag me down as I travel, and they say, "I think I've been called to preach," and that's wonderful, and we rejoice whenever that happens. But to preach the word and to go into the ministry and to pastor maybe or be a missionary or whatever, I truly believe there is also a call to prepare. And not only maybe get some education, but a lifetime. And I know, Bert, you share this sentiment that we are to be lifelong learners.
Yeah.
But let me just say Ezra certainly exemplified that. This is fascinating, really. 11 through 26, Artaxerxes, now verse 12 in the King James, it says Artaxerxes, King of Kings. Got to disagree with that. Jesus,
well, in this case,
the king of
it's lower. I know. At least it's lowercase, Alex.
I know, and it's in terms of human leaders at that moment.
Yeah, yeah.
He was the superpower at that moment, and I just had to throw that in.
I agree with you, but at least they got the lowercase. He got that. Go ahead.
Exactly. Verse 13. I make a decree that all they of the people of Israel and of his priests and Levites in my realm, which are minded of their own free will to go up to Jerusalem, go with thee. And it goes on, it talks about he's giving not only permission for them to go from Persia to Jerusalem, but to take up offerings for the temple. Verse 16, free will offering of the people and of the priest, offering willingly for the house of their God, which is in Jerusalem. There's a lot more we could say, but Artaxerxes, really, this is gracious to let the people go. And remember, there had been naysayers that said, oh, you're not going to be able to exact tribute or taxation from them. But to let them go and take silver and gold and take offerings and rebuild Jerusalem and its temple, he's giving full sanction for this.
He really is. Notice these words. You've already read them. I'm just restating them. And verse 13, volunteers to go, And then in 16, volunteers to give. But then, if that's not enough, again, before we go to break, I want to share this. Verse 20, and whatever more may be needed for the house of your God, which you may have occasion to provide, pay for it from the king's treasury. Man, I believe he wants this done, Alex. And I don't know all the circumstances around it, but he has been moved by God to fulfill this purpose. We're going to come back right after the break, and we're going to continue in this letter. It's got some more good stuff you want to hear.
You've heard a lot about saving babies on this show. That's because it's important to me personally. And let me just be frank with you. We need to save them. That is why we've partnered with Preborn, the nation's leader in introducing mothers with unplanned pregnancies to their babies. And once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life growing inside of her, she is twice as likely to choose life. Now that's a miracle. But quite honestly, if we don't save them, who will? Preborn receives no government funding, so their work is completely dependent on us. Preborn has rescued over 280,000 babies. And that's not all. They provide love, support, and counseling for up to 2 years for free, saving lives and souls. One ultrasound is just $28, or 140 helps to rescue 5 babies. Abortion doesn't stop, so we can't. Together, you and I can save lives. Just call #250 on your cell phone and say the keyword baby. That's 250 baby, or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
If I knew then what I know now, I wouldn't have doubted you. I wish I could tell my younger self just to have faith. There's so many mountains you have moved, valleys you have led me through. And it's only
I don't know if you're listening to those lyrics. So many mountains God has moved, so many valleys he's led us through. And we are to have faith. Well, God is worthy of our faith, and we welcome you back to Exploring the Word. Alex McFarland here along with Bert Harper, and this is the American Family Radio Network. And by the way, the shows are archived at AFR.net, as in AmericanFamilyRadio.net. You can listen again, and you can forward a link to somebody if you want to share something. And we just thank God for this incredible platform of terrestrial radio, but also people that listen around the world online. And we are in Ezra chapter 8, and I got to read 23 and 24. But Bert, let me just say this. I don't know if we're going to see Artaxerxes in heaven. I don't know. I hope so. Surely do hope so. But he certainly seems to be a man who has responded to what he knows about the God of the Hebrews. Would you agree?
I agree. And notice it in the letter, he will talk about your God. Just listen to these words. In verse 25, it says, and you, Ezra, according to your God-given wisdom, he recognized that. And yes. Also, all such as know the laws of your God and teach those who do not know them. Even in verse 26, whoever will not observe the law of your God and the law of the king, again, he knows that. Notice what happens in verse 27, and I know you may want to go back in the letter, but notice this difference. Verse 27, this is Ezra responding. Blessed yes. be the Lord God of our fathers. And I will put this way. I don't think there's hypocrisy in Artaxerxes, you know?
Right.
You know, if he hasn't received God yet, he's recognizing him as God. I believe that. But he talks about Ezra, your God. But here in 27, Ezra says, our God. We're praying that those who are listening are not saying Alex and Bert's God. I hope they're saying, he is my God. Jesus is my Savior and Lord. I'm reminded of what Thomas said after he saw Jesus' resurrected body and saw the nail prints in his hand and feet and a sword wound in his side. His statement was, my Lord and my God. And so we're praying that as well for people who are listening, Alex.
Well, exactly. Artaxerxes is all in. He really is. This is not just some token little gesture to placate the Israelites. But verse 23, here's part of the edict that he has set forth. Whatsoever is commanded by the God of heaven, let it be diligently done for the house of the God of heaven. For why should there be wrath against the realm of the king and his sons? So, at least part of this, he respects the wrath of God and the judgment of God, and he doesn't want to be under judgment or condemnation. Also, we certify you that regarding any of the priests and Levites, singers, porters, that's really the gatekeepers, the Nethinim, or ministers of this house of God, it shall not be lawful to impose toll, tribute, or custom upon them. You know, it was in the 1890s that U.S. Congress made churches tax exempt because of all the benevolent work they do. And here, this goes all the way back to Artaxerxes, that the work of the ministry and many of the workers of the ministry not have to pay taxes to him. But it goes on, and thou, Ezra, after the wisdom of thy God that is in thine hand, set magistrates and judges. He basically says anybody that's a judge or any sort of law maker has to follow the verse 25 and 26, the laws of thy God, Ezra, and teach them that do not know them. And whosoever will not do the law of thy God and the law of the king, let judgment be executed upon him, whether it be death or banishment or confiscation of goods to imprisonment. Here's the thing. Artaxerxes knew what I wish a lot of elected officials today would recognize, that to have a civil society, there must be moral law. Now, there's the spiritual relationship that individuals have, but there has to be a moral foundation for any society. Otherwise, you have anarchy. And when Artaxerxes is talking about all of the magistrates and judges that are to judge this region follow the law of God, Bert, they're talking about what we would call the Judeo-Christian moral code, which is also found in Exodus 20, by the way, the Ten Commandments. And in verse 27, 28...
Well, Alex, before you leave, let me just make this observation. Notice what he puts first in 26, the law of your God, and secondarily, the law of the king.
Right.
That is so, and it reminds me of Acts. It says, we will obey God rather than man. When they said, you can't speak any more in this name of Jesus Christ to the magistrates, and they said, no, we'll obey God rather than man. But notice Artaxerxes puts the law of God first.
That's true.
That was significant.
Well, it is significant because great leaders throughout history, and certainly great American leaders, at least up until about the last 50 years, they recognized what many, Dr. King said this throughout the 60s, that the laws of man are valid only to the degree that they harmonize and square up with the law of God. And, you know, when you look at verse 26, that he subordinates his law to God's law, that's good government.
Amen.
Folks, anything, any law of man, and this should tell you how to vote, if an existing law or a candidate running for office advocates anything contrary to the law of God written on every human heart and the law of God overtly revealed in the Ten Commandments, any law of man that goes against the law of God is an unjust law. And you should never vote for a candidate advocating things contrary to God's revealed truth. And, if Artaxerxes were on the ballot in 2024, I think he'd probably be a good choice. But 27, 28 goes on, and you see Ezra's profuse thanksgiving, because this is good, what Artaxerxes has done. Blessed be the God of our fathers, which hath put such a thing as this in the king's heart, to beautify the house of the Lord which is at Jerusalem, and hath extended mercy unto me before the king and his counselors, before all the king's mighty princes. And I was strengthened as the hand of the Lord my God was upon me, and I gathered together out of Israel chief men to go up with me. We need prayer in our nation. We need God to intervene on behalf of our nation. Our country is in trouble. Now, we can pray. God can intervene. But, Bert, don't you think God needs to see that we care? Yeah. I mean, that we care enough to pray and to be registered and to vote and to influence others. Ezra was, I say this in the best way, he was an activist for God and country and for truth, an activist in the good way, not in any negative way. He was involved, and we should be too.
He was. You have to go back to verse 10 to understand that. Prepare his heart, seek the law of the Lord, do that, and then teach others. I would call that very activism. Pass it on. Now, verse 28, the last part of verse 28. Notice what he does here. It's very encouraging. In the New King James, I know yours said strengthened. The Greek, the Hebrew is more he encouraged, which does give strength. So either one is a good translation. I was encouraged at the hand of the Lord. Okay? Notice that. Because he was encouraged and he knew that God's hand and blessing, which the hand of the Lord always represents blessing of the Lord. His hand was upon him. You remember in 2 Chronicles 7:14, the face of God, that's his approval. He's already got God's approval, and now he's recognized God's blessing is upon me. Then he gathers the chief men to go with me. Now, here's the idea. This is, you're talking about verse 10 being good for ordination. Verse 28, the last part of verse 30, is great leadership. Encourage yourself in the Lord. That's what David did. He encouraged himself in the Lord. When things were difficult, he'd go to the Lord, look at the Word of God, and encourage himself. And God's hand was upon him. Then he gathers these men, these leaders, to go with me. Not sending them, but go with me. Now, he's equipped himself. He's equipped others. And now they're ready for the task. And there's a really important word in that verse 28, with. I'll be with you. God says that to us. I'm with you always to the end of the age. And so knowing Jesus Christ is Savior, that when that occurs, the Holy Spirit of God comes in us, and it's called the indwelling Holy Spirit. He's in us. So wherever we go, he goes. Many times it says he goes before me. Alex, I know when we were teaching witness and training and we'd go before, here's what we'd always tell the people that were going out. And I would take some, others would take some that had already been trained, and we'd go. Sometimes it was cold turkey witnessing. Sometimes we had a name of someone, home or wherever they were. We'd say, Lord, you've already done your work in their heart. We just want to extend that as you've done your work in our heart, and bring those two works together that you would get glory. That's always the truth. God has worked in Artaxerxes' life. He's worked in Ezra's life. And now he's working in these leaders' lives to do what? To go to Jerusalem to complete the task. See, God's working on both ends at the same time, isn't he?
He really is. He really is. By the way, if you're just tuning in, we're in Ezra, getting ready to go to Ezra chapter 8. And we will take calls later on in the show in just a few minutes after the next break. And I want to go ahead and give the number. You might want to jot this down, but it's 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you've got a Bible question, we'd love to hear from you after this next break. Chapter 8 is interesting. Ezra, besides being a teacher and a preacher and knowledgeable in the Word, he's got I think, the spiritual gift of administration.
I agree.
You know, I mean, really.
I admire that, Alex, from somebody that seems doesn't have that good record keeping. I'm so proud God's got people that gifted in that area, and we praise God for them. And Ezra and Nehemiah, both of these two guys had that gift.
Well, exactly. And there's really a list, and it represents, if you add up all the numbers, about 1,500 priests and leaders that go up on this journey to Jerusalem. And there's the staffing and the bringing of Levites and a lot of implements and needful things for the temple. Then, spiritually, there's not only administrative and logistically, but spiritually, Ezra calls for a fast. And here's one of the things: they needed protection. And he says he was ashamed to require of the king a band of soldiers and horsemen to help us against the enemy in the way. Bert, a lot of life for a Christian and for those serving the Lord is in the way. In other words, on a journey. And so he had said to the king, "The hand of our God is upon us, and the hand of our God is upon all them for good that seek him, but his wrath is against those that forsake him." So we fasted and besought our God for this, and God responded. Let me just say this. Mark 9:26 says a lot. There are things that are only accomplished through prayer and fasting. And I don't mean to get us off track here, but I want to encourage people, if your doctor says you can do it, I'm not giving medical advice, but I'm telling you, there's a lot that is wrought in ministry through prayer, yes, prayer and fasting. And I would encourage people to fast and pray for this upcoming election. When you're fasting, when your tummy growls and you're hungry, that's a reminder to pray. And if you've never done a fast for a spiritual breakthrough, it is invigorating. And but he calls a fast for protection.
He does.
And
Alex, let me put this in. Time's going to get away from us, and I really feel like I want to get this in. Notice where he does it. At the river, Havava, however you would say that. I could not help but think about when Joshua was about to lead the children of Israel into
the Kadesh Barnea.
Well, it was after that. At Kadesh Barnea, you know, that's where they rejected God. But in Joshua chapter 3, right before, at the Achaia Grove, before they were cross over the Jordan River and go into the land of promise, they stopped, and guess what they did? They waited 3 days. They were waiting and worshiping the Lord. And then it says, when you see the Ark of the Covenant goes out, you follow that. What was that? The presence of God. There is this, I'd say, practice that you see all through Scripture of this fasting and waiting for a period of time right before that great, I don't want to say invasion, but I am talking about infiltration of going in to do the work of God. So I think it's a great practice and a principle that you see throughout the Bible, brother.
Amen. Amen. I completely agree. And, well, there is that break. And so we're going to have to kind of hit the pause button. And we'll come back at Ezra 8:24. But the number, 888-589-8840, after this, we'll take your calls and questions on today's edition of Exploring the Word.
Streaming.afa.net has now become AFA Stream, and you can find it at stream.afa.net. You see, we removed the letters ING. Our experts have determined that eliminating those three keystrokes, multiplied over hundreds of thousands of AFA Stream visits, could reduce the national debt and maybe increase the gross domestic product. AFA Stream, formerly streaming.afa.net. Improvements to the economy are purely theoretical.
Hi, I'm Dr. Jessica Peck, host of the Dr. Nurse Mama Show, the home of happy parents and healthy teens on AFR.net. I serve as your expert guide to engage, equip, encourage, and empower you to navigate life's toughest issues with your teens. We explore health impacts and home strategies to create a safe space in an unsafe world. The Dr. Nurse Mama Show on AFR.net.
We're in the financial business. We manage a couple of trusts and some estates, and of course, our own monies too.
Courtney Trotter talks about the charitable gift annuity from the AFA Foundation.
I understand annuities about as much as anyone, I guess, can. So I just felt the charitable gift annuity was a win-win situation for many people that still are generating income and still have assets. Because you never know when you may have to draw down on something like that. And if you don't ever have to, then it's even a better gift to get to a really good foundation like AFA. A very solid investment, a good way to help do the Lord's work, and it's there to help us as well.
Find out if the charitable gift annuity can work for you by calling the AFA Foundation at 800-326-4543, extension 345.
When we heard it, our hearts melted, and no courage remained in any man any longer because of you. For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. When Israel was poised to enter the Promised Land, Rahab, the Canaanite harlot, risked her very life to protect Yahweh's people. This woman, whose life was filled with immorality, with no knowledge of Yahweh's laws, yet she risked her life for his people after only hearing of his exploits. How much more then should we give our lives for him? We have his word. We know his ways. Should we be any less committed? Rahab's conviction is provoking.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner, or visit the podcast page at AFR.net for more from Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my life, my strength, my song.
And I could listen to that whole song the rest of the time if you really wanted to. What a song that is. I think it's the best hymn that's been written in the last few years. There's other songs, but it being a hymn sets it apart from a lot of the other songs. So thank you for playing that, Brent, again. Alex, we've got a phone number that we want people to call, 888-589-8840. We've got a lot of calls coming in, so let's see how many we can get to today. You want to do that?
Let's do that. First, I've got to give a big shout-out to the wonderful people in Eastern North Carolina, Pastor Greg Owenby and Bethel Baptist Church. Angie and I were there last week, and a lot of people came, but I want to give a shout-out to a special family. I bet they're listening. The Brabble, Glenn Brabble and Erica and their kids, they came, and they were so sweet, and there were a lot of Exploring the Word listeners. But the Brabbles, thanks for coming, and a lot of people, especially last night, skipped their own church to come out, and I got to teach on biblical worldview. And to everybody from Tidewater, Virginia, everything east of Raleigh, North Carolina, down into the eastern upstate of South Carolina, hey, Exploring the Word loves you, and thanks for I know, Bert, we just appreciate our listeners, don't we?
We do. We brag on you guys everywhere we go. So thank you for listening and being a part of Exploring the Word audience.
Amen. Well, we're going to begin in Louisiana. April in Louisiana, welcome. You're the first caller of the week on this week of Exploring the Word. April?
Yes.
Welcome.
You're on the radio, April. Go right ahead.
Oh, wow. I just want to cry right now. I'm so sorry. I've never called.
Well,
we're
glad you did.
I've had it on my heart to call several times, but today I finally got through to being able to do it. I am beside myself with the learning that I've learned through the radio and through God's word. I just wanted to make sure that I tell everyone that the Bible is so important. We learn so much. God teaches us daily. I didn't know how to read at one point, and he taught me how to read to understand the Bible.
Amen. That's wonderful.
And, he teaches me stuff every day when I learn, when I sit to read. And today with the message of Ezra, the idea that he stood up because he had faith, he believed. And it's all about belief.
Amen. April, it is trust in God. And people talk about the old covenant and the new covenant. The covenant does not mean the way you're saved. From all the way from the very beginning of the Garden of Eden to the very last person that was to be saved, you're saved by grace through faith. But God has revealed himself. That's the whole idea of God revealing himself to us. And the book of Hebrews makes it even plainer. In these last days, he has revealed himself through his Son, the perfect one. And then he continues to do that through the Word of God. So, April, you're on the right track, reading the Word of God and letting God's Word speak you. That's what Ezra was going through. It said, and you don't have to be this man to do what he did. It says he prepared his heart and sought the Lord. Alex, I just want to tell you, you're ready to learn when you've prepared your heart, get it right with God, and then you seek him. You remember what it says in Peter, add to your faith? Do you remember the first thing you add to your faith? Virtue or character.
Yes.
And then knowledge. If you're not careful, if you try to add knowledge before you prepare your heart, it'll build you up in thinking, oh, yeah, I know. But when your heart is right and you've prepared your heart and you're seeking him, April, that's the right order. Keep it up, girl.
Amen. Your heart for the Lord and your tenderness for God's word is very inspiring, April. Thank you for calling in. Let's go to Steve in Missouri. Steve, thanks for holding. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
No, thank you for taking my call. I was really working hard on the Holy Trinity of God, trying to understand it.
Good luck.
I almost drove myself nuts. But I came up with a really great analogy. I was praying and meditating one day, and all of a sudden this little thought came in my mind that said, if you want to know, you have to start at the beginning. Well, you can't get any further to the beginning than Genesis. And so I went to Genesis 1:1, and I read, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And I understood exactly what that little thought was saying. I grew up in the construction business, and so every construction project starts with a designer. And that designer designs what it's going to look, designs the whole project and shows what it's going to look like when it's all done. But he's not the guy that really gets it done. It's got to go to an architect then. And the architect makes it structurally sound. God is the designer and the architect and structural engineer that made everything sound. Okay? And then if I go to sentence number 3, it says, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. In other words, God said, who is the Word?
Jesus. Yes.
Said the Word, and it was created. If we back up to sentence number 2, it says that the Holy Spirit was hovering over the deep. He is the supervisor for the entire project to make sure everything comes out to spec. And it made perfect sense because when we are saved, that is what he does for us each and every single day to make sure we come out according to God's design.
Amen, Steve. Listen, Alex.
Beautiful.
It's beautiful.
Beautiful.
The Word of God is so quick and so powerful, and you see the Trinity right there. Way to go, Steve. Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Well said. there's very little I could add to that, even though I want to. But I want to get these other calls in, too. Tanya in Arkansas, welcome.
Hey, guys. Thank you so much for taking my call, and thank you for what you do. And I love learning with people, like Steve calling in April, giving her thoughts. I mean, that's how I learn the best. But what I wanted to call y'all about was to tell you that former state senator Jason Rayford, who started the National Association of Christian Legislators, have y'all heard of that before?
Yes.
NACL, okay. Anyway, they're calling for all Christians to fast on Tuesdays, all the Tuesdays up until election. Of course, a fast is between you and God. It's, right. You know, there's no, you have to not eat all day long. I mean, a fast is between you and God. But anyway, I just wanted to put that out there because that's, you know,
Amen.
I mean, we know that it all has to get really bad. We know it does. And that we're going to be persecuted. The Lord told us that this is going to happen.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean that we can't stand up and speak truth and ask for God's grace more than he gives us already. But
Amen.
Thank you, guys, for
thank
what
you.
You do.
Thank you, Tanya. Amen. Listen, Alex, we've talked about this. I'm staying on target with Ezra today. Preparing your heart. We need to prepare for this election. In other words, hopefully everybody in the Secretary of the State of each state, the Election Commission of each state, they've set the boundaries and got it right. We're praying for that they will do that correctly and hold to it. But we got to pray that our heart is right. And like you said, look at the scripture and as close as you can get to a candidate that will demonstrate what Artaxerxes said, that's wise in seeking and praying the Lord. Yes, do that. Tanya, thank you.
And it's true. National Association of Christian Lawmakers, a call for fasting and prayer every Tuesday from now until the election, November 5th. Spread the word, folks. And we need that, and we need God's intervention. Thank you very much. We're going to go to Paula in Virginia. Paula, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Thank you for your expository of God's beautiful word. I participate in a Bible study on Fridays. I still use King James Version. That's what I'm most comfortable with. Most of the class use many different versions of the Bible. A lot of them use NIV. I was told NIV deletes a lot of the Bible. So just curious of your thoughts on the NIV.
Alex, you answer first on that.
Yeah, let me say this, that any translation, you've got what's called the donor language and the recipient language. The donor languages are Hebrew and Greek. The recipient language is whatever, you know, whether it's English or Spanish or, you know, many dialects of different languages. Now, let me say this. There is a translation philosophy. There is a word-for-word translation, and like the NASB, people might say, okay, well, that has more words than, you know, the NIV. Have they added to? Well, it's almost like the Amplified Bible or the NASB that tries to very rigidly, word for word, use what the original source material said. In the case of the NIV, in general, the translation philosophy was what's called dynamic equivalency, which is, I'm not going to say it was a paraphrase, like the Living Bible or the Story was a paraphrase. And we paraphrase God's Word all the time. I mean, we might paraphrase John 3:16, but in the dynamic equivalency, it's not necessarily leaving out for the purpose of distorting. I will say this, the 1978 to 85 NIV was the one that I think was more trustworthy. Bert, I know there was one about 20 years ago called the TNIV.
Right.
That was intentionally trying to be gender neutral. I'm almost to the point that I don't, And I used to travel with and use the NIV, and I'm not completely trashing it, but even the philosophy itself that birthed it, which is dynamic equivalency rather than literal word-for-word exchange, is a little bit iffy. I mean, that paraphrastic philosophy of translation makes me a little bit nervous anyway, Bert.
It does. Let me just share. If you're just reading, and I'm reading through the Bible, and I'm way ahead. I just got started, and I'm about a month ahead of schedule and doing it because I'm just enjoying it so much. I'm reading. I'm using the New Living Translation. I love it. But when it comes to study, I love the New King James, the New American Standard, because it is closer, I would say, like you said, the dynamic of it is more word for word rather than thought, you know, of that. And I find it better to study with. So the NIV, the one you talked about, is good to read. But if you really want to get down to study the word, I think you do better with New King James, I would say, the New American Standard Bible, Alex.
The Holman Christian.
It does great. And the new NLT does as well. You can study. But the closer the dynamic is to word for word, when you're studying, I think you do better. But you need a good Bible dictionary either way. Go ahead, Alex.
Amen. We're going to go to Kathy in Arkansas. Kathy, thanks for holding. Welcome to the program.
Oh, Alex, I'm so excited to get through. I love you and Bert with all my heart. But what I want to say is, was the blasphemy that happened in Paris at the Olympics, do you think the lights going out, is either Friday night or Saturday night, was a warning from God to Paris and the world?
I don't know if it was, but I tell you what, I just want to give a shout out. We have a company here in Mississippi. It's called C Spire, and they pulled their ads after they did that. Now, C Spire is, if I understand, the sixth largest carrier, cell phone carrier. And after they said that, they said, we cannot be a part of that. And a lot of folks said they just turned off the Olympics. After they saw that, they said it made them sick of the whole Olympics because of that particular thing. Go ahead, Alex.
Well, it just seems like globally, worldwide, there's a rejection of truth and a blaspheming of God. We certainly need the Holy Spirit to move. Micah in Louisiana, very, very quickly, we'll try to get your question in, sir.
Hey, guys. I think it's super important for us to try to fill ourselves with biblical wisdom, and so I'm just wondering, how long did Paul spend studying the word between his conversion and his ministry?
Okay, let me make one comment. He already had a great, great knowledge before that, and because he studied under Gamaliel, Alex, and then seems like he was 3 years somewhere, and I called it a desert seminary somewhere.
Yeah, you know, you read about in Galatians chapter 1, verse 18, and Acts 9, 26 through 29, he went to the desert university, didn't he?
He did.
And so Paul studied for 3 years, but you know, being a Hebrew of the Hebrews, like you said, I mean, the day he got saved, he already had an intimate knowledge of the Word of God. And Saul of Tarsus, I don't know that there's ever been a human used so much by God post-conversion. That's why the Apostle Paul is like my hero.
Yeah. I tell you what, and thank God for a man like Barnabas that was not afraid to connect with him and bring him in. Isn't it great that God uses these people for such a time as they're needed, Alex?
Well, and everybody listening to the show, God has an assignment for you. You, dear believer, were born for such a time as this.
Well, we'll see you tomorrow, and we'll start in Ezra. Don't you forget, and study and read ahead.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.
A recent study reports that the rapidly declining global birth rate will lead to a major population crisis if birth rates continue to decline. Their massive support for Planned Parenthood is all a part of their plan. While we may feel hopeless in the constant attack on life, there is an amazing way to fight back. When they shout abortion, we shout life. Preborn is leading the way. Every day, their network rescues 200 babies. You see, when a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears the heartbeat, a baby's chance at life doubles. The ultrasound is the secret weapon that joins a mother's heart to her child. Preborn provides ultrasounds for clinics in the highest abortion areas. Can we join hands nationwide for life? One ultrasound is just $28, but any gift will help. $5,000 will underwrite ultrasounds for the entire network for a day. All gifts are tax deductible. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby, or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.